Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
How you guys doing? So tonight, we're going to do something a little different. Different's not bad. Different's good, right? And so I'm going to interview one of my friends as the second half of the game, the show tonight, right? But first, let's pray. And look, here's the deal, okay? You made a decision today. And I don't think it was something you just chose to do on your own. You just thought, you know, I'm going to come to church tonight because it's what I do. I think that God put it on your heart. Whether you're here every week or not, I really do. I think that God put it on your heart to be here to receive something from Him. And so if you believe that, I believe that, let's just pray that God will speak to us tonight. I'm going to have Pastor Brad from Ventura out here in a minute. And we were praying right before service for you. Because we can stand up here and talk, we can do our thing, we can open up scripture, but you have to be willing to receive what God has for you. Whether, before you say amen, whether it's good or whether it's uncomfortable, right? Sometimes uncomfortable is good. Sometimes when we hear something that we weren't expecting or we don't really want to hear, or maybe it's that thing that God's been speaking to you over and over and over, and maybe He wants to confirm that tonight. Or maybe it's that thing you've been wanting really badly and God wants to tell you to hold on a little bit longer. Maybe it's something you don't want to hear. Or maybe it is something you want to hear. I don't know. But let's just be willing to 100% receive what He has for us. And the best way to do that is to lay down whatever expectations we have right now. So let's do that. Father, we come to You right now, Lord. And we lay down our lives. Nothing short of our lives, Lord. We lay down everything to You, and we offer to You our bodies as living sacrifices tonight, which includes our mind. And so, Father, I pray that if there's anything, Lord, that is in our mind that is going to keep us from hearing Your voice, I pray that You would let us think about that right now and give us the strength to let that go. So right now, church, let it go. Don't worry about it. Whatever it is that's bothering you, let it go. And Holy Spirit, I pray that You'd speak to every single person that is in this place tonight and every single person that's listening to this online. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So I have a short message for you. It could turn into a long message, but I'm not going to let it because we have Pastor Brad from Ventura out here. And we've already been talking about a lot of cool stuff. We both have too much to talk about tonight. But I'm just going to start with Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. I do this a lot, but tonight, it's like there's so much in this scripture. It's insane. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, okay? So in the very beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. The darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and there was evening, and there was morning the first day. So at the very beginning of the Bible, this is the very, very beginning, we have a story of creation. And the very first thing that God creates is light. And it says that He created it, and He said, "This is good." It's almost like it was a template. God said, "You know what? With this light, I can do everything else." Right? So that's the very beginning of the Bible. It's the very beginning of Scripture. And it's important that we understand this. So the first thing, so if we learn anything tonight, what was the first thing that God created? Light. Okay, simple stuff. We're not in children's church, I understand, but it's important to understand this, okay? So let's go to the end of the Bible, Revelation 22, verse 5. It says, this is the very end of, this is the whole story of Revelation is about the end of days when God restores everything the way it should be. So in Revelation 22:5, this is one of the last things that Jesus has spoken to John to write down. And this is what it says. And night will be no more. In the very end, night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever, right? So at the very end, that's what God does. Now, I want you to think about light for a second. I actually thought about cutting the power here, but then I thought, I don't know how we can get it back on. I don't know what the logistics are. I don't know what the legalities are, but I just thought about it. So let's use our imaginations for a second. And let's assume that the power is just like, let's just imagine the power is just completely taken out. Like all the light is gone. It's a little light outside, but it just becomes dark. What's the first thing that you're going to think to do? A lot of you would reach for your phone because you got a flashlight on it, right? Like that's the first thing you do because light kind of makes us uncomfortable. When I was first youth pastor, I took a bunch of kids to camp. I shared this story recently, but not this part of the story. And one of the biggest things on my mind when I'm taking these kids, I was 21 years old, okay? And I was taking a group of high schoolers to camp. I was in charge of them. And, you know, at 21 years old, you're kind of irresponsible. And that's just the way it is, right? So I was really concerned about, first and foremost, not losing a kid. Like, that was the most important thing. Just don't lose a kid. And so we're there, and one of the pastor's sons, I won't say his name, he's one of my good friends today, but he goes missing. He's gone, completely gone. And I, because I'm keeping track. I'm like, you know, there's 25 kids. I'm like, one's missing. So I just go on a full-on panic. I go in full panic mode. And it's at night, and we're up in the woods, okay? And so in my mind, I don't know still to this day what I was thinking or why I was thinking this, but in my mind, he was out in the forest by himself. So I, without a flashlight, without anything, I started walking out into the forest yelling his name. And I walked further and further and further out. I just wasn't that smart. I was walked further and further out, and it got darker, and it got darker, and it got darker, until I realized that I didn't know where I was. Right? And so it was pitch black. And the thought hit me. I thought, you know what? This is the darkness. This is it. This is what it's like not knowing what you're doing. And God ended up speaking a lot of interesting things to me that weekend about me not knowing what I was doing and how he was going to help me throughout the whole thing. But when you don't have light, it can be spooky. It can be scary. But the thing about not having light and it being dark is there's confusion. It says in 1 Corinthians 14:33, it says, God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. God created light so that we can see. God created this illumination so we could see. I want you to look at this scripture right here. This is really interesting. So Jesus comes on the scene. And he starts preaching the kingdom of heaven. He said, the kingdom of heaven is near. It's right here. I want you guys to know this. He starts preaching the good news, right? Which is the gospel. And one of the first sermons that he preaches is a very famous one. It's called the Sermon on the Mount of Beatitudes. And we're going to read just a small passage of that sermon in Matthew 5:14. It says, you are the light of the world. So Jesus takes it up a notch. He knew the creation story, right? He knew that God created light, the first thing. And Jesus looked at this group of ordinary people. They're out. The setting here is really, really interesting. It's out. As a matter of fact, I have some pictures. Let me just show you what it is. If you end up going to Israel, the church is going to Israel, you will come here. This right here is a picture of the Mount of Beatitudes in the background. So this is the Sea of Galilee right here. And this is the Mount of Beatitudes area back here. So when Jesus was preaching these words, saying that you are the light of the world, he was standing over here, a group of people here. I don't know if it was day, maybe it was becoming night. I'm not really sure. But he was over here preaching. And in the distance, on this side, there's a Roman city. And the Roman city is where you'll stay. As a matter of fact, if you go on the Israel trip next year, you'll probably stay in one of these hotels. Probably that hotel right now, right there, right? So that's exciting. But this whole city is called Tiberias, and it was a Roman city. Let's get the view from the Mount of Beatitudes toward Tiberias real quick. So that's the next one. So opposite of the lake where the Mount of Beatitudes is, this is where Jesus would have been and where he would have been preaching this sermon. This right here is Tiberias. I don't know if you can see it very well, but the city kind of it kind of is built on the side of the mountain. You see that? So keep that up, Sandy, if you can, while I read the rest of the scripture. Actually, no, I need the scripture because I don't even have my Bible with me. So let's go back to the scripture. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Okay? Nor do people light a lamp but put it under a basket but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Now, let's go back to that picture. Imagine Jesus is sitting here talking to these ordinary folks, and in the distance you have this Roman city, and the Romans represented to the people he was speaking to the Jewish people he was speaking to, the Romans represented the oppression. They represented a culture that was impossible to overcome in their minds. They were slaves under Roman control. Rome was taking over the world. There was a cultural push that was just taking over everything. When we think about culture today, we think about the culture that's just taking over, right? We think about just the news feeds and the Twitter and the different opinions and the wars and all this thing. It's just taking over. Now imagine, again, Jesus is sitting here with these people. These common people, they're fishermen. They were just average people like you and I. And they were together listening to Jesus. And he was saying, a city on a hill cannot be hidden, right? And so they're looking over and they're seeing this Roman city. They're seeing this place that represented this oppression. And if they compared that to themselves, then they would have felt small and insignificant. But when Jesus came, he started his ministry with people like you and I. He started his ministry with people who look at the world and think that it cannot be overcome. And he says to us, you are the light of the world. You are the ones that are going to change things. You are the ones that are going to spread the love of God to every single person. You're the ones. You're the culture. We are, right? And it's kind of one of those things. It's hard to believe unless you believe in the God who created this light. Each and every single one of us, we have the ability to allow God to live completely through our lives. We also have the ability to completely shut him off. We have the choice every single day whether we want to walk in light or if we want to walk in darkness. We have the choice every single day. And it's not like the light's gone. It's just hidden. We have a choice to do that if we want. But we also have the choice to just be who you're supposed to be. Simply, right? Just be who you're supposed to be. I had a message plan, and I was going to kind of share more about what light is and I had some thoughts. But my dad called me and he was like, you know, Brad's going to be in town. And Brad and I have been talking about doing this for weeks. And so I'm going to have Pastor Brad from Ventura come out here right now. And we're going to talk about this in a very real way. So Brad, let's make some room here. So this is my buddy Brad. By the way, come here. So here's the deal. We're not the same dude. Okay, some of you guys, you think that we are. This is Brad, and I'm Josh. All right, we're different people.
I just go with it now. When they call me Josh, I'm like, what's up? My dad's good.
I have been called Brad probably 100 times, and I don't know.
I've been called Josh 100 times.
There you go. Maybe my
dad's good. He'll be here this Sunday.
I think we were meant to be brothers is what it is. And so so Brad and I, we have had a bit of a journey together in God and in the church. Brad came around years ago. I don't even remember. How many years? When did you get saved? I mean, when was this?
Man, it was like, I don't know.
Okay, so it's been years. It's been
a long
years.
Time ago.
A long time ago.
2003.
And so we connected here at the church, and Brad ended up becoming a youth pastor here and served for years. I don't even know how long you did that. It's all blurred to me, man.
I
feel like I'm an 80-year-old dude that's just like, I don't even know where the time went.
I know. We are almost 80 years old now.
We're like halfway there for sure.
We're not the young guys anymore.
We're not at all. And so Brad, he did youth ministry here for a while, and he felt God call him elsewhere. And so now we have a sister church in Ventura, California. And I was a little bit of a part of that, but Brad is the guy that God has called, and God has been doing an interesting work in Brad. I know it hasn't been easy for you. And so,
no, it's been totally easy. It's all good.
Why don't you just tell us really quickly, just in a real quick way, like happened, man?
Well, like 5 years ago, my wife was pregnant with our third daughter. And I was the youth pastor here. I think it was 8 years. Things were great. Like everything I touched turned to gold, you know. And then now you move to a new city and people are like, what church do you go to? VBF. We've never heard of that. From where? Nazareth? Nothing good comes from Nazareth, right? But I'd say Bakersfield. It's the same conversation. And no, it's just different, you know. And so anyways, my wife, she was pregnant with Henley, our third daughter. And we just felt our season changing. And one night, I decided to get a little brave, and I said, okay, so here's what we're going to do. You go to that room, I'll go to this room, and let's both come out hearing the Holy Spirit on our future. This is where the baby began, the baby church plant began. And so she goes to her room, I go to my room, and I come out with this detailed plan about executive leadership and internship and college-age ministry and outreach and mission work. I have this like 5-step plan on how I'm going to reach the city of Bakersfield. She comes out with two words on a page with a circle, and it says church plant. And I go, well, we know who's not hearing God. And obviously, Shanna, if you're watching, you're right. I get it. And so
we always have to say that about our wives. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, she was 100% right. And what the interesting part is, so I had no clue where it was going to happen, how it was going to happen, or what God was going to do until one day Pastor Ron comes to a staff meeting. He says, I got this vision of these churches on the coast, right? And so, and I don't want to throw Shane under the bus, but all these guys were like really wanting Ventura. And Shane was like, I'm going to be in Ventura. And I was like, go for it, man. If you're craving the coast, I'm a pastor. I stay with the people, right? And so I was like, I'm not on an escape plan. I love this church. I love this city. He's just trying to get out of here and get better weather. And so anyways.
And they've been best friends for a long time.
We've been best friends forever. We came into the church together and all that. So anyway, so one day we're over there filming a church launch video. And to be honest with you, I had never felt the burden for any other city than Bakersfield. You know, and I was on Main Street. It was 5 a.m. I was getting the coffee for the guys. They were on the pier doing a video with Pastor Ron about the launch. And I walk outside on Main Street, Ventura, and it was a ghost town. And I remember looking, and I just, for whatever reason, I felt this city lift off me. It was supernatural. I'm just going to tell you the way it felt. It was like all of a sudden I was like, wait, maybe I could see myself somewhere else. And I prayed a bold prayer. Be careful. Be careful what you pray. Be careful because it could change your life. Like you're one prayer away from an entirely new destiny. And so I prayed. I said, God, if you want me to come here, I'll go. But I have to know it's you, number one. And number two, if I go, I'm not just going to retire. I'm going to work and we're going to advance the gospel. Like that's why I'm here, right? And so I said, now I'm not going to tell anyone. I have to know it's you, right? So I go, we go through our day. All these guys are like, Ventura, Ventura. I'm like, yeah, if it's from God, it'll be for me, right? The following day, 8:30 in the morning, my phone rings. It's Pastor Ron. And he says, hey, I want to talk to you about something. And you never know what it's going to be about with him. Like I was like, oh man, what'd I do wrong? And he said, I had a picture in prayer of you and your wife living in Ventura. Have you ever thought about that? I said, yeah, I just prayed a prayer and didn't tell anybody yesterday. He goes, well, when can you know if you'll go? I go, give me 10 minutes. And so I went inside. Shanna, we got to make a decision. Do you want to go to Ventura? She says, what are we going to do with our house? I said, I don't know. But Jesus said, leave it all for the sake of the gospel. It'll give it back. And so I literally, that's how it went. So I called Pastor Ron back. I said, I'm in. Let's go. And so he says, what are we going to do with the youth? I said, Tom Hollenbeck. You know, and I really hadn't figured it all out. But what was interesting was, as the story began to come together, it hadn't really went public yet. I was
I was just feeling this faith, like we're gonna go take a city, right? We're gonna go change a city. What I didn't realize was that a city was gonna change me. You know, I was gonna become a deeper leader and a deeper pastor in the process, right? And so anyways, I was walking across the campus, and it's funny, John Humke's sitting right here, him and Giovanni one day, and you never know with these guys too, they're one of those, when they come up to you, you're like, what'd I do wrong? They hear from God. You know, and so anyways, he stops me, he says, God has told us to pray for you. And I go, okay, what'd he say? And he says, bow your head, and he prays for me. He says, right now, Father, cause Brad to see the ocean. I want him to stare from the right to the left, east to the west, as far as he can see. This is how far you've expanded your ministry. And I go, whoa, do you have any clue where I'm moving? He said, no. I said, here's what just happened. And that was the beginning of my story. It was like I had people coming to me with dreams that I was going to be leading a church in Ventura and all this stuff. It was almost too much for me, if I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't know what to do with it all. And I think being so young and you're going to a place you've never been, in a city you've never really had a burden for, it's all fresh in a position you've never been in. And I think through the process, like sometimes God, he'll speak really loud because he knows you're going to need it later, you know? And so for me, like, it's just the perseverance. And now we're seeing some crazy awesome fruit and it's growing. And we've seen baptisms. We've seen lives change. We've given shoes to foster kids. Like, we're developing ministry and raising up leaders. And Pastor Ron passed the torch. And, you know, I thought he was passing it to Josh. And Josh was like, I don't want it. No, it wasn't he didn't want it. He wasn't called to it. He was, like, honest about it. He said, I think it's you. I think
for Ventura?
Ventura, oh, yeah. No, yeah. Yeah. He was like, this is you, man.
I actually moved over there because I was quitting ministry for good, which is funny. I mean, it's, you know, because I moved over there.
That's what I'm going to say. You keep calling me back when you're on stage. Well, I'm like, are we ever going to do anything else together?
I know, right? It's funny because the church was starting a church over there, and I don't want to, like, say anything negative, but if there's a handbook on how to start a church, we did not do it right. Like, the church didn't do it right. And I was kind of like sitting in the background watching this happen. I'm like, this is not going to work. That's what I was thinking the whole time. I was kind of negative about it. And I was going through another thing in my life. I was like,
totally negative.
I was wanting to do marketing
that,
work. Yeah. Like, I was
done. He's better now, though. He's an amazing man. Just kidding.
I'm bent towards that, unfortunately. But I was trying to run away. I think one day you actually called me Jonah. He said, you're a lot like Jonah. And we had a laugh about that.
Yeah, you're going to get later, me caught up in the belly of the whale with you.
Oh, later, yeah. I cried. But it was fine. But So I'm over there dealing with my stuff, trying to figure out my life. And God is doing something in Brad. And what I've always appreciated about you, Brad, is the fact that even though you don't have a plan laid out in front of you, you'll still go. And what's funny is talking about what you're talking about with your wife. Like, you are a planner. Right? Like, deep down.
Yeah, I want a plan.
But yet you'll go even if you don't have one.
If I know it's from God, I'll do it. I mean, I think it comes down to yes or no.
Right.
You know, and
that's not easy for people. I mean, would you consider yourself somebody who likes to live with no control, or would you rather have more control?
I want more control. But Jesus never said, understand me. He said, follow me. Right? And so understanding isn't a prerequisite for obedience. Sometimes you say yes and you go, and on the other side of that yes may be a trial. On the other side of that yes may be a new city with new people, and, you know, every relationship, you're not sure if they're going to stay or they're going to go, or, you know, it's just a journey, right? New business, whatever you do. But if you say yes, just know if it's from him, he's going to meet you there when you step out.
And I'm just going to brag about you for a second, because you did something that a lot of people wouldn't do. First of all, you went, and of course, moving to the beach sounds nice, right? It sounds great.
It is amazing. I'm not going to lie. Yeah,
right,
so
it's nice. But doing something that's completely out of your comfort zone, a lot of people will never do that, right? So the second thing that Brad did was he ended up getting a job over there. He had to get a job over there full time and do that and ministry at the same time for a while. And just recently, their church over there made it to where he's able to not work full-time and go into full-time ministry.
And just to be clear, like, we are in the family. I talk to Pastor Ron on a weekly basis. And
100%.
We're praying for us, and I'm with Josh, and they're speaking with me. You know, like, we're in the family. This is just a new season.
Brad's one of these guys that God brought him into our lives at a certain time, and we just knew that he was going to be connected with us for a long time. And so it's really
for
cool.
For life.
For life.
Yeah, there you go.
However long that lasts.
I saw Shane trying to get a raise earlier, by the way. Did you see that? He said he's the best looking guy in Bakersfield.
I don't make those decisions.
I just trust God for that, Josh. Hope you know if I ever work for you. Just let me know.
Yeah. Thanks. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
I don't have to say all these things. You know?
I think we should just have you and Shane out here talking right now. I think I'm the wrong guy.
That would be funny. Yeah.
But the thing that I want to bring up is that this guy is willing to sacrifice and actually live the life. And it's not always easy to do that. I've seen you work really, really, really hard for something. And when we're called by God to do something, how many times do we expect him just to give it to us on a platter? Right? That's not really how it works.
Yeah. I was thinking about this church and just honoring this church and how far this church has come in 40 years. Your dad didn't just arrive here. I mean, it was decades of giving your life to a city, raising up others who are giving their lives to the same purpose, and just through perseverance, bearing fruit season after season. It takes a lot to get something like this off the ground. People think you can just microwave a ministry. You can't. It's like farming a ministry. You plant seeds, you sow, you water, but it takes work. And that's with any vision that you're birthing in your life, or God is birthing in your life. It takes work.
Not everybody here is called to go plant a church, but I do believe that everybody's here called to a ministry.
You give birth to a family. Right? Raising kids takes work. It takes seasons. You got to get out of the diaper season, get into the other seasons. Like, raising a church is the same way. Like, learning to walk on your own, learning to figure out your identity, you know, all that.
So what I wanted to talk about the scripture that I opened with a little bit about being a light in the world. And what that actually looks like in the real world. And when I know from knowing you and just knowing the stories, and we talk a lot, I know that you minister to a lot of people that are unchurched. You minister to a lot of people that don't really know anything about God at all. And that's a lot of your heart. And so what does that look like on the real?
It's different. I mean, I don't go out into the world and clutch my pearls every time I hear a cuss word or talk to somebody with a different political opinion or different moral value system. Like, I go into the world and expect that I'm going to have to be the light in the world, right? Like Josh's message, the light in the church or the light in the world. We're not called to be the light in the church. Like, it'd be good if we could all huddle up here and stay together forever and just let VBF be the brightest church in the city, right? Well, people in Rosedale aren't going to feel that. You know, you got to get out. You got to go other places. You have to get out of your comfort zone and step out, right? We're called to be the light of the world. So that means you're going to have to go to dark places and learn to get a hold of God and let people see that in your life. You can't just stay huddled up with your friends forever. I mean, I love you guys, but honestly, I love Jesus more than I love my friends, you know? And I love this church a lot. However, we are called to raise up leaders and advance the gospel. And that calling is biblical. And I feel like sometimes it's easier to stay together. It's easier to have things perfect. But that's not always the plan of Christ if you look in the Bible. You know, sometimes you got to get out in the world and to flesh it out. I mean, for example, my first barber, that I baptized 3 barbers accidentally. It's the craziest thing in Ventura. But the problem is I baptize them and then they leave the church. Like, it's like they get raptured. I don't know what happens. I'm afraid to go find a new barber because I don't want to have to, like, get to know them and have the heartbreak of them saying, we're going somewhere else. I had one guy, so I'm sitting there in the barber chair, and I just met this guy, second time I was getting a cut, and I had half my hair done. Picture this, half my hair done, the other half not. And out of nowhere, I hear the Holy Spirit say, ask this man if he wants to get baptized. And I was like, what? It was like, this is a really cool shop. Southern California is a rough place to go and preach the gospel in a barbershop. And so anyways, I said, all right, here we go. I said, hey man, so I know I haven't said much about like my faith or whatever, but I'm a pastor and sometimes I hear the Holy Spirit. I'm just gonna tell you what's on my heart. God wants to know why you're not getting baptized. You could have heard a pin drop in this barbershop. This man fell to tears with half my haircut. I ended up getting up out of my chair, laying hands on him. All the people, it was like crazy faith, right? And I'm going, what am I doing? You're gonna look so stupid. Like, what are you doing, man? And anyways, lay hands on this guy. He, right there, he's like, I want life changed, whatever. I told him, I'm like, well, let's go to the ocean tomorrow. I said, let's do it. I said, I'll buy you a Bible. We'll get you plugged in. We go baptize this guy, right? And it was like, you ever read the story in Acts where Philip baptizes the eunuch and then all of a sudden he's raptured and he's gone? He's in a different city. I felt like I was in a biblical story because we go baptize this guy, right? And we're like, life change. This is going to be amazing. The following day he calls me. He's like, hey, I'm moving to Denver. I thought I just found a friend. Yeah, it's so like when you get out there, you're going to have to be bold. You're going to have to sometimes be okay with being weird, but not too weird. Not like you're going to push him away from God weird, but like I have something that's good and maybe this might be something that could help you weird, you know?
So would you say like letting your light shine has a lot to do with obedience? And what would be your advice to people that are struggling with that and just thinking about living their lives and not being weird or not being odd, you know, feeling strange?
I think love causes you to let go of your understanding. You know, like I just said, like understanding isn't a prerequisite for obedience. Like love also will help you uncomplicate things. When you move in love, you're not going to do things that hurt people or push people away from the faith. There's times I'm in Starbucks with other Christians and they have these really divisive conversations in earshot of the public. And I'm just going, this is not in love. This isn't edifying people, because I don't want to do anything that would lead people away from Jesus. My life should be bringing people towards Jesus, right? So I think when you live a life that's based on love and based on just, you know, making disciples, like you're going to have to get out and you will risk being weird, but there's a way to do it so that you don't push people away. And I think if you're sensitive to the Spirit, you'll know, like, hey, don't say funny things. Don't make people feel judged. Don't make people feel shamed over their sin. When you meet someone who may have a different political view, don't go, oh my gosh, I can't believe you. You would do that. Sometimes just listen, just say, you know, I love you. I know something that would be so good for you. Yeah,
So you think that we let our views of the world like get in the way of just simple obedience sometimes?
Yeah. And I think when you love people, you just do what you do for people, right? And like, if I love you, I'm going to reach down and pick you up. I'm not going to worry about what you're wearing or what you believe as much as I'm going to say, you need my hand.
So you know? I think of the scripture that we're talking about, the letting your light shine. And back then, they didn't have like flashlights with batteries. They had lamps, right? And lamps are lit by fire. And when you put a lamp close to another lamp, what happens? The other one lights on fire too. So I think that part of our culture in the past has been stay away from all those sinners, stay away from all those people that are not of God. But I think that there needs to be wisdom and there needs to be leading of the Holy Spirit. Yes, there are times where you need to stay away from certain people.
Need to be afraid to stand for truth
right
when the time's right. But you don't need to just, some people are more interested in preaching than reaching. You just want to be heard. Like you don't really want to change people or affect change. You just want people to know what you believe. Like, and I think sometimes we need to just slow down and say, what does this person need to hear? Like, how do they feel loved? Like, or how, maybe they're struggling. Maybe they're battling internally, right? And sorry to cut you off, but sometimes we're so concerned with what we want to say that we don't listen to maybe what God wants to say or do, right?
Yeah, totally. And I think that we also, we just need to listen to the Lord, listen to the Holy Spirit. And I know that seems cliche. And that seems cheesy, but it's true. You have to listen to the Holy Spirit. Tell one more. Can you share your suicide story?
Oh man, your dad was gonna have me do this on video, but I guess okay. So can I do this?
Yeah, do both.
Pastor Ron, it's his fault. I'm falling asleep.
Well, this is the end of the service.
All right. So fine. I had this. So 3 weeks ago, and I'm learning, right? So I don't claim to have arrived. I'm still a work in progress. I'm growing, but. For a few days throughout the week, I was preparing for my sermon and whatever. When I went to prayer, I kept feeling someone at church is going to be suicidal. And it was just out of nowhere. It's not something that happens a lot. Our church, I know everybody there. It's a small church. And so it's not like this where, like, there's people here probably struggling with depression or people here probably discouraged. And, you know, I just know that because of the amount of people are here. At our church, I know everybody. So it's not a common thing is what I'm trying to say. So all week long, I kept hearing it. And so I finally, I go, okay. So God, I'll step out and I'll just speak prophetically to that person, whoever it is, and I'll just say what's on my heart, right? And so I said, just Holy Spirit, lead me, right? So I'm at church, I finished the message, and like towards the end, like I had almost forgot about it, and I hear the Holy Spirit tell me to speak out for this person, right? And so I stop everything, and I said, hey, I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but I'm just going to change everything for a second and just speak directly to a person. There's somebody here, maybe more but you're battling depression secretly and you're struggling with suicide. And God today is telling you he has a better option for you than suicide. If you give your life fully to Jesus today, this whole thing can change. And so anyways, I prayed authority over spirits and like stepped out and did this whole thing, right? Did an altar call. We had two people to come to Christ. For us, that's huge. I love it. And so we had two people to come to Christ, said amen. Lights come on. This man comes, you know, probably in his 50s, and he's basically in tears and like almost running, but not running, definitely moved emotionally. And he walks up and he says, "You don't know what you just did." He said, "Yesterday I told my mom if I didn't find a reason to live this weekend, I was going to hang myself." I said, "Well, listen, man," I said, "this is for you." I told him the story. I said, "We're going to lead you to Christ right now. I'm going to pray for you. The Holy Spirit's going to enter your body, and that is not the end of your story." And so we prayed for this man. We got him a Bible, got him plugged in with some leaders and some guys. But it's just wild. I don't even know. Like, I wish I could give you a recipe for this stuff, but I don't have it. If you don't have a relationship for the Lord, none of it's going to happen.
Right. It's a choice,
you know,
right?
Like, It's got to come from that. It has to come from a place where you love people and you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you're just leaking out what you have on other people. That's the way it happens, you know?
God's original plan was he created man to be with man, to be with us. And if we choose, we can be with him. And there's a relationship there. And that's where all these beautiful things happen, right?
Yeah.
But it is a choice. And so I think if anything, tonight's about encouraging you guys to just trust and believe and listen. Listening's a process.
And I think about a church this large, right? Can you imagine if every person in this room was determined to reach the people within their influence? Just determined. Like instead of like being determined to focus on your thing, you just said, "God, I'm going to give you my thing. I'm going to trust you with my burden and I'm going to take your burden and I'm going to love the people you've put close to me. I'm going to be sensitive at dinner. I'm going to listen when I'm volunteering in my kids' classrooms. I'm going to talk to the person in the next cubicle. What if I just devoted myself fully to the kingdom? Like, how would things change in your area of influence? I mean, this whole city could change from this church. I mean, it could happen. I mean, it's not far-fetched. Like, you guys could actually do it.
Choose light, man. Choose light, you know, every day. Let's pray, Brad, for everyone.
Yeah.
And thank you. Let's give him it up for Brad for coming out here and doing this tonight. He was given a whole 3-hour notice, so that was really awesome that he was able to do this.
Thank you, man. And you are the best looking man in Bakersfield. Just kidding.
You're just saying that because I look like you, and that's weird.
Yeah.
And so. We got
a pick. Are you gonna have a beard or am I gonna have a beard?
I'm not changing, so I guess we're just going to look alike.
All right.
People are going to wonder who's who forever. Who knows, right? I'm the fatter one right now. Anyway, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for who you are, God. I just pray, Lord, right now that if there's anybody here that doesn't really believe that you love them, Lord, I pray that they would receive your love right now. And God, I pray, Lord, that they would understand that you love them, Lord. I pray divinely, God, that you would just let them know that you love them. Satan and demons, we rebuke you, we bind you, we command you to leave. And we pray right now, Lord, that you would just give every single person in this place a new hope and a desire for you and a love for you. We love you, Lord, and we just thank you. And I'm just going to agree with Brad's prayer as well.
Yeah, Father, right now, cause your Holy Spirit to enter the bodies of every human in this facility. Lord, I pray that people would walk out of here encouraged to go fight their battles and not only carry their own burden, but give their burdens to you and help carry the burdens of others. Lord, today, if there's anybody here and you say, "I'm ready for a new life. I'm tired of the old. I'm ready for the new. I want to introduce you to Jesus today, just boldly." I'm going to ask you real quick just to pop your hand in the air. If that's you and you say, "I need hope. I need something." Anybody at all? There you go. Love it. There you go in the back. I just have to do this. It's like, I just love you guys so much. We just want change. So Father God, right now, let's pray together. Say, Father God, all of us as a church, let's pray together. Father God, forgive us of our sin. Send your Spirit to live inside our bodies and make us new. We're ready for new things. We're gonna give you all the old, and we're gonna just trust you with everything that's gonna come. Thank you for sending your Son for us and for sending your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Yes.
All right, guys, we love you. We'll see you guys soon, okay?
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our love.